Segment 3. No high school sporting event is complete without cheerleaders. But while fans think it's actual athletes competing on the field, cheerleaders are probably performing the more physically demanding acts, Mary Brown reports.
Cheerleading is an integral part of sports. Cheerleaders have to work as hard as any athlete, since cheerleading combines dance, gymnastics, and acrobatics. To be a cheerleader, you have to be in excellent physical condition. A recent study found that a typical cheerleader uses up as much energy during a football game as any of the players. And yet, cheerleading is not designated a sport. Sadder still, many fans take cheerleaders for granted. Dr. Peter Ronson heads our local sports injury clinic. Our listeners will be surprised to hear just how hazardous cheerleading can be.
With very elaborate choreography, including jumps and flips that only trained gymnasts can perform, young girls, as most cheerleaders are girls, work hard to psych fans up during games. Cheerleaders need to practice as much as any athlete, and they need to be as gifted. Yet cheerleading is not considered a sport. If we bear in mind that more cheerleaders suffer injuries than athletes from all other high school sports combined, this seems particularly ironic. A recent study involving 1,200 high school cheerleaders from all over the U.S. showed that 45% suffer an injury during a typical season, and that 5% suffer a serious injury. By serious, I mean concussions that require hospitalization and broken bones. There is even a case of a girl being paralyzed after a fall. To put things in perspective, 20% of high school football players suffer injuries during a typical season, 3% of which are serious. Attitudes have to change, and cheerleading must be governed by the same legislation regulating all other sports.
Those are a lot of injuries for an activity we almost take for granted. Why are so many girls injured? And what will make things different if cheerleading becomes a bona fide sport?
Cheerleading routines have become tremendously intricate, with backward somersaults and multiple tumbles. Girls can be thrown up to 3 meters into the air. If not properly caught, they can easily suffer serious injury. Because cheerleading is not listed as a sport, schools are not required by law to take certain mandatory precautions. For instance, in order to qualify as a coach, irrespective of your sport, you need extensive training and first aid. In addition, there must be a coach and at least 2 assistants at all practices. Each sport also has a set of safety guidelines that must be adhered to. There are no such guidelines for cheerleading. A lack of trained coaches and the absence of assistants to help as spotters when the girls are working on a risky routine, all this means that injuries become inevitable. Cheerleading must be governed by the same criteria that govern all high school sports. This may mean an added expense to already stretched public budgets, but the cost of treating injured cheerleaders is already great in financial and personal terms. I'm sure those of us who pay taxes won't mind.
So next time you go to a football or basketball game, pay more attention to the cheerleaders. You can be sure that they've worked just as hard as the other athletes you've come to watch. They are just as deserving of our admiration.
Based on the information, what seems to be the most serious problem cheerleaders are facing? According to Dr. Ronson, what percentage of cheerleaders suffer serious injuries? 48. Why does Dr. Ronson compare cheerleaders with football players? 49. According to the report, why is it important for cheerleading officially to become a sport? What seems to be one consequence if cheerleading gets recognized as a sport?